All right. Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. This is a review for Insidious, The Last Key. It's directed by Adam Robitel. The writer is Lee Whannell. It stars Lin Shaye, Lee Whannell, and Angus Sampson. And the synopsis is, a parapsychologist, Dr. Elise Rayner, faces her most fearsome and personal haunting yet in her own family home. And James.
Yes.
The horror expert.
Yes. So
previously liked other entries into the Insidious franchise.
Right.
What is your viewpoint on Insidious, The Last Key?
As you mentioned just now, I'm a fan of the Insidious series. I'm a fan of Lee Whannell and James Wan. This movie is perhaps, in my opinion, the worst out of the Insidious series, but and it still isn't a bad entry.
This is the fourth one? Is that correct?
This is the fourth one, yes.
Okay, all right.
It may be the last one, because the way the Insidious series is, it's basically totally out of order. Out of order. Just like Star Wars is out of order, this is out of order. So the actual order of the movies to actually make sense, Insidious 3, Insidious 4, Insidious 1, and then 2.
I really hate when movies do that.
I don't mind it if they connect it well, and this is connected very well, but I would actually like to see it in order. I don't mind it as long as it's done properly, and I believe this is done properly, but I agree with you to some point that I don't like it, but it has to be done well for me to appreciate it. And this is done well, but I did notice some things about this movie that kind of takes down the Insidious series a little bit. Like I said, this is the worst one out of the series so far. I don't know if it's going to be another one. Just to paraphrase what's going on in this movie, starts off with the main character, Elise Rayner, the parapsychologist, is basically starting off with her as a child. This is basically talking about her upbringing and her explaining her gift and how when she was little, her father beat her ass for being gifted like this because he was afraid of it. And also in her innocence and not knowing her abilities, she unleashed something into this world that is still there in her house. And she left the house on bad terms because her father was basically an asshole and blames her for the death of her mother because of the things that she saw as a child. So she left, like I said, she left the house on bad terms and never came back until she got older because someone gave her a call saying, I was told to give you a call. I live at this house. Can you please help? So whatever that she unleashed into the house is wreaking havoc on someone else. And that's basically the gist of it. And she's basically facing her fears. In addition to facing what she unleashed into the house and her fears of just basically being in the house to begin with, because it brought back so many bad memories of abuse and just constant torturing from her father and just bad memories from her mother being killed by the in-house that she unleashed. It's a lot of things going on here. I enjoyed it, but you could tell it's a departure from the previous installations for the simple fact that the director's different. The last three movies had James Wan, which is my boy, and had Lee Whannell, which is also my boy, director.
Who is Lee Whannell?
He plays Specs in this movie, and also he was the guy in the original Saw.
Yeah, he was also in the Bye-Bye Man.
Huh?
So he was also in the Bye-Bye Man.
Yeah, he was also in the Bye-Bye Man.
That movie wasn't very good, was it?
Yeah, but he had nothing to do with that, so he was just in it as an actor. So, yeah.
He's a favorite actor of yours, right?
Well, no, I mean, I like his writing and his directing style.
So he's a writer and director, I'm sorry.
Actor, because he's an actor in Insidious series as well.
Gotcha.
So the director is Adam Robitel, and he directed some things that I actually liked. He directed The Taking of Deborah Logan. It wasn't a bad movie.
Didn't he write one of the Paranormal Activity movies?
Yeah, he did the Paranormal Activity, the Ghost Dimension, the last one, which was pretty bad. If I had to rate these movies on which one I like best, I like two. Two's number one, then one, then three, then this one. Javier Botet, he played in so many damn movies. He's very well known when it comes to playing like monsters. He's played in, as a matter of fact, he was in It. He was in The Mummy. He was in Conjuring. He was in so many things. If you see him, you'll see what role. He's really, really tall. He weighs like 120 pounds. He has some type of condition. But anyway, he does a good job as the creepy monster. He plays it off very well, and that's because of his movement. It kind of reminds me of Doug Jones, but Doug Jones is way more seasoned, I think. This guy, he seems to be like kind of new on the scene to me and probably to a lot of people, but I would equate him to the Doug Jones of horror because he does a lot of things that it was kind of creepy. He played Mama and Mama. If you've seen Mama and you see the creature, the mother or Mama, whatever you want to call it, that was some eerie ass shit. The movie wasn't that great. He played the creature very well. And then you saw The Conjuring 2?
Yes. That was the one where it was supposed to be like a true story, but it wasn't.
Yeah. He played the Crooked Man, like the guy that was hiding in the shadows. In It, he played the hobo. So, yeah. I could just keep going off of how many roles he played in certain movies, and you'll be like, oh, that was him.
All right. So what score would you give Insidious The Last Key?
I give it a 6. Tone was set well. The acting wasn't bad. The chemistry between Elise and her crew of Specs and and the other, well, I forgot his name. Oh, my God. Like, he was just, they were just hilarious. Specs and Tucker. That was his name. Like, just the chemistry for those three characters was pretty good. I enjoyed it. But this movie would have got a higher score if it wasn't for just one scene. And I'll explain this scene, and you'll understand where I'm coming from. So in the very beginning of the movie, the mother was speaking to Elise and her brother. And she gave the brother a whistle. Said, look, if you get scared, just blow this whistle. I'll come and save you or do something. I'll come and see what's going on. You don't have to worry about it. I'll be right there for you. Right there, guy. Right there. So we get to the climax of the film when shit's going down in the further. And the further is the other world. Elise is in the other world fighting the Keymaster. What the hell is Keyface? So whatever his name is called. So,
his name's Keyface?
Yeah. It's like, I know. They could just call him Keymaster or some shit.
That was just, yes. Are you serious? I thought you were joking.
No. His name is Keyface.
Okay.
Hey, not everything's perfect, okay? Basically, Elise was getting her ass kicked. Her nieces, one of the nieces had the same gift that she has, and then both of the nieces were also stuck in the further. It was just all over the place. It looked like it was just very, very grim.
So they all had The Shining, and they were like...
Well, no, just one of the nieces had The Shining, but the other one was just trapped in there. Trapped in what you call it, The Shining. Let's call it The Shining. The gift. One of the nieces was just trapped because she got attacked by a Keyface in the house. So the point that blew me, and this whistle is a plot device because it propels the story. The whole time in this movie, she was looking for this whistle because it meant something to them, to her and her brother. She found the whistle. And one of the nieces threw the whistle towards Elise when she was basically getting destroyed by Keyface. And then she blew the whistle. She had to blow the whistle. And then a mom comes out of nowhere and just fucking throws a fireball at Keyface. And you don't see Keyface anymore. For that point happened in this movie, I'll give this movie a solid 7. That shit took it down to at least 1.6. 6. Because I was with my wife. I directly looked at her. I was like, what the fuck? And she just said, I don't know.
That you didn't like the part when they won? Or were you expecting, would it have made a better movie if she had died?
No, because she died already. Like I said, this movie's out of order. She died in part 2. At least the main character died in part 2. We knew that she wasn't going to die. It would have made it better if it made it somewhat of a struggle. Instead of just like, oh, mom comes in and says, hey, throw a fireball. Keyface is gone. And that's it. Make it somewhat of a struggle. Make the mother come in and be like a distraction or something. Or they do battle it out, but it's not like an easy victory. And let it be a distraction enough that Elise and her nieces could escape. You know what I'm saying? Not just okay. Like, hey, I'm here to save the day. Fireball, boom, you're dead. And that's it.
Was this based off of a true story?
No. This isn't like The Conjuring. Conjuring is based off of The Warrens. This is just a story that's written. If it didn't have that scene, or they would have just modified the scene like I just mentioned, I probably would have given this a 7. I don't see them continuing the series on because it's in The Last Key, but that doesn't mean anything.
Resident Evil, The Last Chapter.
The Last Chapter. So, yeah, exactly. This really doesn't mean anything at all. If they do continue it on, I don't see how, because the way they ended it on going to part 1. So I don't see how they could do that. So I think this may be it.
All right. That's the Beast Game Podcast.